Bomber has been adapted by Joe Dunlop from the book by Len Dayton. It's the dramatic and terrifying story of the final mission of the RAF Lancaster bomber WF-183 over Germany on one night in 1943. It's also the story of all those people whose lives were irrevocably changed by the bombing raid. Starring Tom Baker, Frank Windsor, Samuel West, Emma Chambers and Jack Shepherd, and featuring the voices of British veterans and German residents throughout, this is the first part of Bomber, and at 14:30 hours, planning and preparation.
We knew that it was lethal to stay straightened up. As you were running into the target, you couldn't weave any longer. They had time to fuse and send a shell up there. It was all the time they wanted. That I would have to go straight and level for the bomber to drop the bomb and take the picture needed nearly half a minute. Half a minute is an eternity. Being straight and level.
It was like being on the stage in the spotlight. Bags of panic.
This is the story of the final mission of RAF Lancaster bomber WF-183, call sign O Orange, which took place on Saturday the 18th of February 1943. It is also the story of all the many men and women, British and German, whose lives were irrevocably changed by that night bombing raid.
We present Bomber, a documentary drama based on the novel by Len Dayton, dramatized by Joe Dunlop, starring Samuel West as Flight Sergeant Sam Lambert, Emma Chambers as WAF Corporal Ruth Lambert, Jack Shepherd as Oberleutnant August Bach, featuring Frank Windsor as Air Marshal Sir Arthur Harris, and narrated by Tom Baker. Bomber.
It is just after 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, the 18th of February, 1943. O Orange is in the sky above Wally Fen Aerodrome doing her night flying test.
Pilot to crew. Once around the garden, then home, Chief has told them to save 7 late lunches.
The pilot, Sam Lambert, on his second tour, has clocked up 47 operations.
The noise in an aircraft of that era is only just bearable because the flying helmet of that era also was a thin leather one. And, of course, it was damaging. I'm slightly deaf, and there's lots of other people who flew, some completely deaf.
What do I say, Sherman,
today,
Skip?
Did Chief say?
Meat pie,
Binti.
What
passes
for meat these days, anyway? Shut up, Binti.
The glad of any
little jump to half past 2.
Binti Jones, ex-milkman from Pontypridd, is Ophir Orange's mid-upper gunner. His opposite number, the rear gunner, is an ex-miner from Nottinghamshire. The whole crew are volunteers.
Navigates the pilot.
Yes, Koshak.
Is that glycol leaking on the starboard inner, Skip?
Pilots and navigator, we're checking.
Only small, but it looks like it's getting bigger.
Thanks, Coach.
Is it glycol or fuel battered?
The coolant tanks are normal, Skip. No fuel pressure warning lights.
Visual check.
Sorry, Skip.
Look out the bloody window.
Oh, Orange's new flight engineer, Ted Battersby, was at school in Lancashire 6 months ago. He's 18, and tonight will be his third off with Sam Lambert.
There's something there, all right. Starting on the engine cowling. Looks like a new penny. It's all right. I know what it is, Skip. It's not glycol. No problem. It's a footprint. Only an oily footprint. But I will register it. I'm sorry.
Now, on the notice board, there would be put up the names of the crews that were going to fly that night. But I used to find that if my name was up there, I went straight away to the toilet.
How's the starboard inner doing?
Looks perfect.
Oil temp and pressure, bang on as it should be. That's plenty to be.
Can you shift a minute, Berries?
Lift your legs, mate. Lick DB out the nose.
DB. Royal Australian Air Force, Bomb Aimer O-Orange. 15 operations, all with Sam Lambert.
What about the H2S, Coach?
On the top line, Skip.
Glad to hear it.
Think it'll help, Diggers?
Yeah, well, you know me, Sam, always optimistic. But the blood has broken down every flaming off so far. Did they tell you where we're going tonight?
1,300 gallons, looks like we're going to bomb Adelaide.
Very funny, yeah.
Steering right 45. Flaps up, Batters.
Flaps up, Skip.
Pilot to wireless operator.
Give me here, Skip.
Getting a test done. I'm only going round once, mate.
Wireless operator to pilot, develop to Skip.
Jimmy Grimm, a Londoner, 21 years old, wireless operator O-Orange. Seated aft of the navigator on the port side facing forward, Jimmy has the Astrodome above his head. The area shared by the pilot, the flight engineer, the bomb aimer, the wireless operator and the navigator isn't much larger than a big family car. This was Jimmy Grimm's favorite test. Best bent wire tins, best bent wire tins. Miles away in northern France, an officer in charge of German radio monitoring makes a note of Jimmy Grimm's wireless test.
He knew the frequency of the different numbers currents and knew their number and knew also their airbase. And in the afternoon, those currents which would fly the night air raid, they checked their wireless, and our people listen to it, and they could tell me tonight the guess we will have 500 bombers from squadron Zozo, squadron Zozo. They come from that base, that base, that base, that base.
A message to that effect is sent to the CNC Luftwaffe Night Fighter Command at Dieland. Miles away, on the edge of the IJsselmeer in northern Holland, is Luftwaffe Night Fighter Station Kroonsweg. Here are the Junkers 88s and Messerschmitt 110 Night Fighters, which will engage the British bombers over the skies of Europe tonight. At this time of the afternoon, they are being fueled and serviced.
Himmo! What are you shouting about? You're giving old Kugel a hard time.
Oberleutnant Baron Victor von Löwenherz, Staffelkapitän of Night Fighters.
I was just telling him how irritating it is to locate a turret flyer, creep up under his belly, and then find your engine losing power before you can shoot him down.
No, he's still having engine problems.
Oh, yes. But will he do what I want?
Come on, engineers.
Sounds like oil pressure. It might be a leak.
U-88s were never designed for fighter work.
As I had a similar problem once on a Messerschmitt, it turned out to be a simple oil leak. Get him to fit new rings.
Done it twice. It makes no difference.
Then,
the engine's kaput. It needs replacing. Why won't you listen?
Old Kugel is under orders to keep replacements to a minimum. Besides, I hear the station commander is having trouble with his supercharger.
My heart bleeds. If we all had superchargers.
Then Kugel and his mechanics would be even more overworked.
So, what am I to do, Oberleutnant? We're on tonight. It's running okay now, but for how long?
Tomorrow I'll get Kugel to do an engine run. If the revs are still dropping, I'll insist on a new engine tomorrow.
Thank you.
Are you all right?
How do you mean?
Well, you seem a bit, I don't know, down on the mouth. Girl trouble?
No. No, it's nothing. Look, I'd better keep an eye on Kugel's men.
Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
Wireless operator to pilot. What's wrong with the engine, Skip?
Nothing, Jimmy. It's just Batters with other troubles. Or Leland everywhere.
Shut up, MG.
Go easy, Batters. It's not an Austin 7. That's better. Sit. Listen to the revs and look at the props. You can't always trust the dials.
The most isolated men on a Lancaster are the gunners. In O-Orange's rear turret is Sergeant Flash Gordon. After the war, Flash plans to get an office job. No way will he ever go back to the mines. He swivels his turret, his eyes trained on the sights of his two pairs of parallel-mounted 303 machine guns.
Pilot to rear gunner, how's the view, Flash?
Bloody brilliant, Skip. It's really great.
I can see so much better now Keeper's taken out the rear perspex.
I saw a film with Bob Hope, and he was stuck in a suitcase for quite a while. When they opened the suitcase and he cut out, he got out, he couldn't straighten up, he was all cramped. And I thought, Christ, that's how I used to feel when I come out the turret.
They'll all be able to cut out rear turrets once word gets round.
Stop blowing your own trumpet, Flash Boy. We know you're a genius.
The mid-upper gunner, Binty Jones, has a pair of 303 machine guns. Neither gunner has contact with the rest of the crew except through the intercom.
You're only jealous?
I the golden turret. That's what they'll call it.
All a flash, Harry turret. Let's get...
Pilots are both going to dry out.
They're loose below the skip.
Roger, Flash.
You're thinking of moving here after the war, Sam?
Sorry, Digby?
You and the missus offer a nice little thatched cottage with a garden gate.
Why do you say that?
We always take us over this way. Hey, look, Sam, starboard on the beam, another Lancaster.
Factory delivery, no markings. Replacement machine.
Yeah, probably a shearer at the controls. Don't get too close, Skip.
Don't worry. 2650 plus 4, batters.
2650 plus 4, Skip. Coolant to 105, or 90. Pressure 70, Skip.
Pilot to rear gunner.
Yes, Skip.
Can you see the man come from starboard side?
Even see the crew of the rear. Looks all right.
Keep your hands off your weapon, Flash Boy.
All right, your box is a trick, sir, okay, navigator?
Navigator to pilot, seems to be working.
Good. Pilot to all crew, we're going home.
Beau Orange begins her descent towards Whalley Fen Airfield, a mile-long runway clearly visible like a black line across the countryside. Tonight, in the dark, it won't be quite so easy to find. Whalley Fen Aerodrome, one of over 100 bomber command stations dotted around the British Isles in 1943. There are 16 Lancaster bombers based here. All of them will take part in tonight's raid.
To be working out on dispersal areas with an icy wind blowing, because aerodromes are always selected to be in the coldest and the most hostile weather conditions that you can imagine.
During the morning, the pilot's snag lists from the previous night's operations have been studied by the ground crews and repairs and replacements carried out. Now, most of the aircraft on their concrete circular stands are being fueled and bombed up, ready for takeoff early this evening.
Some of the smallest nuts and bolts are in the most inaccessible places. And to get your hands, when they were blue, down and tighten up the 6BA nut and bolt, it takes some doing.
B-Flight office. Airman Clark Eric Steds types up crew schedules. In the office next door, B-Flight's temporary acting commander, Flight Lieutenant Sweet, stands by the open window, watching the activity as O Orange comes onto its stand. Sweet is 22.
Mr. Fleming?
Sir?
Here a second, old chap.
Fleming is the captain of the replacement crew of Lancaster Z Zebra. Of those who survived her crash landing at Whalley 3 weeks ago, three are still in hospital. With a new tail assembly, wing section and undercarriage, the plane will fly again tonight. None of her old crew will ever fly again.
You look after Zed Zebra, Mr. Fleming. She's a good old crate. You've had the best damn training, now use it.
Can't wait to get out there and get on with it, Mr. Sweet.
Good show, Fleming. Carry on.
Did you call me, sir?
No, Sedge. Talking to Mr. Fleming.
Ah, first operation tonight.
You know, the odds are 15 to 1 against for the first three trips.
You didn't say that to them, did you, sir?
Oh, of course I didn't, you idiot. They aren't fools, Eric. Public school chaps.
Never heard them, though.
How's it go again? Survive your first five and you double your chances of staying alive.
At least for 30 ops.
Wincombe Munro's done it for 60.
True, sir.
Done 28 myself. Fleming just needs a bit of luck.
Everyone knows, sir. Well, I do remember an incident where a mid-upper gunner...
lost his head.
Yes.
And the aircraft was right in front of the hangar.
Yes. I do remember that. Yes.
And there's just nothing there.
Nothing, yes. Mm.
Just completely lost his head.
Yeah. Oftentimes, there will be that smell.
Yes.
Of bodies have been in there for 8 or 9 hours. Probably been no injuries to them, but there was that particular smell peculiar to a kite returning from operation.
Absolutely. Yes. I remember one coming back, though, George, where they had to pull the parachute. for him to lie on. And the parachute was, instead of being white, was red.
Yeah.
I remember that, and the ambulance came out and left the parachute behind for us to clear up. And that was a mid upper gunner as well. I've just forgotten his name, but I will be able to come to it.
Was a nice old German town with these typical marked houses with these old fronts, different roofs, with much old culture, so very nice.
That same afternoon in February 1943 in the small town of Altgarten in northwestern Germany, Walter Reisman, the Bürgermeister, called into Frenzel's, his favorite restaurant.
Only a small affair, mind, Herr Frenzel. 18 guests.
Yes, yes, Herr Bürgermeister, even so, we must make it special.
There is a war on. Like the Führer, we must live simpler lives these days. Now, with the fish.
Riesling with the fish.
Perfect.
And with the main course, Herr Bürgermeister?
Oh, a nice little Chateau bottled Burgundy you were telling me about.
The Lafitte 37.
Precisely. And, of course, champagne for the toast.
How many bottles?
Just keep it coming till I tell you to stop. Ah! Oberleutnant Bach. Good day. Fraulein.
Good afternoon.
Herr Bürgermeister, good afternoon. Happy birthday.
I'm sorry you won't be here for the party.
Duty first, I fear.
Fritz wants to lay on an evening such as we used to have before the war. But I was just saying, we have to make sacrifices, even in a quiet little backwater like this. You return to Holland today?
Within the hour.
Well, I mustn't detain you from your meal.
Your table, sir.
Heil Hitler!
Heil Hitler! Who is that pretty little thing with him?
His housekeeper.
Oh.
Well, his wife has been dead over a year.
She's rather young for August. He must be pushing 50.
Her father is a high-ranking official in the propaganda ministry.
Oh, not just a pretty face, then. Well-connected. Crafty old uncles. Now, where were we?
Now, the chandelier. You have no right to order alterations without my written authority, Sam.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sam Lambert and Flight Lieutenant Terry Sweet in B Flight office at Wally Fen.
The blasted rear turret on O-Orange. You told Worthington's riggers to leave the perspex off. He just told me.
It would
have been good manners to at least check with me. I am meant to be B Flight commander after all.
I did. I left a note on your desk.
Well, I never saw it.
I got it back with your signature on it.
Huh?
Yes, ask Eric.
No, I signed so much.
Look in the file if you don't believe me.
All right, all right. Subject closed. We're on tonight. Big op. Briefing for captains and navigators at 15:30.
We'll be ready.
See, you are. I want B-Flight to be the best damn bomb delivery service in group. So how's it working out, this rear turret thing?
Well, Flash says it's...
Eric!
Sir?
Where's my tea? Want some tea, Lambert?
No, thanks, sir. I have a late lunch waiting.
I'll get it now, sir.
And Eric, tell Mickey Murphy to get over here.
Sir?
Bloody undercart keeps jamming on his sugar. Seems beyond Mickey Murphy to get the ground chaps to do anything about it.
Doesn't sound like Mickey. Or the ground chaps.
I've had to use emergency air twice to get the wretched gear down. So, how's Ruth? You should watch yourself there, Sam. Group is no fool. Bound to find out.
I doubt it. Unless someone tells him.
Well, strictly speaking, I should. Won't, of course.
Damn stupid rag of his. No wives within 40 miles.
Quite. So what's the thinking behind this rear turret thing?
Oh, it's Flash's idea.
Who? Huh?
My rear gunner, Sergeant Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
Thought it would make for better night vision. No smears or scratches to spoil the view.
Everybody's seen well enough through perspex before.
You could say the same for glass, but haven't you ever opened a window to see better?
Yes. Yes, well done. Let me know how it works.
Flash should get the credit.
Oh, don't worry, he will.
Have you read where we're going tonight?
Well, even if I knew, I couldn't tell you. Figgy?
No, thanks.
Look, Lambert, I was going to leave this till after tonight, but I might as well give it to you now. You won't like it.
Oh.
How's it going to your pipe, lad?
I'm not hungry.
The crew of O Orange in the sergeant's mess.
Something considerate, sod spot my lines.
Who's mm-hmm. that been, Flash?
You. You Welsh git. Your motorbike. 6:30 this morning.
Well, my car's not bad.
Shouldn't have been a whale night in the first place.
Mind your own business, Flash. Read a comic or something.
Back from Peterborough.
Well, don't start, you two.
Well, it's not right. Having it off with a married woman while her husband's away fighting.
You go and see if a padre's looking for an assistant.
One of these nights, he'll be standing by the bed when you wake up.
He's in Burma.
You'll hear about it. And he'll sort you out.
With your little boy with horn rings.
I haven't seen him, you lying.
I have. Yeah, there's a wedding picture on the bedside table.
And it might have got bigger since that was taken.
Not according to Rosie.
I hope he's a bloody PT instructor. Out east fighting Jack. It's not right.
Where's Jimmy?
Gone to see if he's any post.
I wonder what Skip's talking to Floyd about.
Afraid it's settled.
Effective when?
Tomorrow.
What about replacements?
Straight swap. You get Speak and Simpson.
I see. You get my navigator and bomb aimer, and I get yours.
Word from some desk flyer on high, old chap. Ours is not a reason why.
You don't split up crews that are working well.
Sorry, Lambert.
I bet you are. You've done this, haven't you? First you took Mickey Murphy, now you're having Cohen and Digby. Digby's the best bomb aimer in the squadron.
My chap Tim speaks pretty good.
I hear he's windy. And your navigator Simpson's a no-hoper, too.
I don't care for your tone, Lambert.
What are you trying to do, sweet? Have the best crew in the group to cover your back? Do you think that's all it takes?
I'd be careful what I said if I were
you. You don't split crews up.
Cohen's put in for a commission. He doesn't want to fly under a sergeant. You know, but these paranoid speculations of yours are very interesting. I think you're the one who wants the crew to watch your back.
Oh, bugger off.
Oberleutnant August Bach and Anna Luisa finish lunch at Frenzel's restaurant.
More wine?
No, thanks.
Go on.
These sausages aren't where they were. I think the British have some kind of secret weapon. A man flicks a switch in London and every sausage skin in the Ruhr splits from end to end.
The Burgermeister keeps looking at me.
Because you're so pretty.
No. It's because you are a Luftwaffe Oberleutnant, and I am a little housekeeper.
Nonsense.
Not many people of your rank would take their servant to lunch.
They would if they were in love with them.
Oh.
I asked you here this afternoon because I want you to marry me, Anna Luisa.
Oh.
Young Hansel adores you.
And I him.
Now, I know I'm not a young man, but I do love you, and I'll do everything I can to make you happy. Well, what do you say?
I've loved you for a long time, August.
But you've never said...
I didn't dare hope.
Anna!
Oh, my head's in a whirl.
You aren't used to drinking in the afternoon.
No. When do you have to leave?
The car's coming at 3.
Let's go back to the house now. I want you to make love to me.
What's that, mate?
I got a letter from my missus, right?
Oh, not a dear John, though.
Don't be daft, no. Her little Tommy's not too well.
Oh, dear.
She says he was coughing all night.
Look, Jimmy, you know standing order says you can't have your wife living less than 40 miles from base, right?
Well, she's back in Wool, isn't she? Living with her mum.
Right. But he doesn't say a dicky bird about having other people's wives, does he?
Well, don't you ever think of anything but Sheila's? I can't just see Jimmy's not in the mood for jokes.
Well, I hope this Rose's husband's in the Marines. That's all I'd love, you.
But baby's a crook one minute and bouncing fit the next. I wouldn't worry about Jimmy.
Well, how do you like it, Vincey? Now there, fighting for your country and some poxy little Welsh cuckoos in your nest shagging your wife. You're the one that sounds cuckoo to me, you.
Yeah! All right, that's enough. My hell's tea, save it for the Jerrys.
Where are you going, Flash, for a walk?
Good idea.
He fancies her himself.
But why do you keep rubbing his nose?
Oh!
Look, you'd better sort it out with him and quick. I mean, that's all we need, a rear gunner who hasn't got his mind on the job.
But he started it.
Oh, like the Germans, you mean? I mean, who gives a company cuss who started it? All I want to see is the bloody thing finished.
We had a lot of colonials, I mean Australians, Canadians, New Zealanders and South Africans. I mean, they had less regard for RAF discipline than we did.
What's he say, Sam?
Who?
Sweet. Saw you in his office. Giving you the benefit of his vast experience, was he?
Flight Sergeant Worthington, Chief Engineer Ground Crew O Orange.
He say what tonight's target is?
No. What's the bomb, then?
The train's on its way. Starboard Jenny on the top line, then?
Seems to be.
She was definitely giving us a volt up this morning.
Brett has never took his eyes off her.
If that Jenny acts up, watch your step. The accumulator could go up if it overloads.
Well, whatever it was, you seem to have fixed it.
Yeah. She's a good old girl, old Orange.
Ground crew obviously became attached to the aircraft, and obviously if the aircrew managed to survive perhaps more than three or four trips, became attached to the aircrew as well. It was their aircraft. Yeah. Really,
we only let the aircrew have it on occasions to take over to Germany, and then we used to say, well, bring it back in one piece, you know.
Anything else, Chief?
What's wrong, Sam?
You know, Chiefy, when I told my old man I was joining up in 37, he said to me, why? What are you joining that bloody shower of toffs for? Since Sweet took over the fight, I'm beginning to see what he meant.
Yeah, not the way it was. Boys with bum flap on their chops running the show.
48th trip tonight. Maybe it's time I packed it in.
Has Sweet got it in for you?
God knows.
You look tired, Sam.
No, I'm all right.
You're sleeping all right.
I keep having this dream. This little German kid's having his birthday. He bends to blow the candles out, and his head melts. Funny dream, eh?
August Bach and Anna Luisa are on their way home from Frenzel's.
Oh, no, August. It's your cousin. Let's pretend we haven't seen him.
What?
Oh, no, he's seen us.
Good afternoon, sir.
I've just been round to the house, but you weren't in.
You know Anna Luisa?
Yes. Good afternoon, Fräulein.
What's the matter? You look like you've swallowed something sour, cousin. You've been eating your own pickles.
Ah, very funny. My pickles are well-liked in this town.
Well, what do you want to see me about?
I wanted a word in private.
Anna and I have no secrets.
No, it can wait.
Well, wait, Gerd, wait. I want you to be the first to know. I've asked Anna to marry me, and she said yes.
Oh. Well,
aren't you going to congratulate us?
Yes, of course. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I must get back to the shop on Saturday, and I'm short-staffed. Frau Kirsten is ill.
He doesn't like me.
Nonsense. The girl likes everyone.
Not young women, he doesn't. He's got nothing but old bats working in that grocer's of his.
Sam sits behind a repair hangar at Worley Fen with a WAF corporal from Safety and Rescue Section. Known on the base as WAF Corporal Taylor, she and Sam were secretly married 6 months before.
He's poaching number two of my crew.
What?
Last month he took my flight engineer, Mickey Murphy. Now it's Cohen, the new navigator, and Digby, best bomb aimer on the squadron.
Can he do that?
He's bloody done it.
Why don't you go to Monroe and complain?
What'll I say? My flight commander won't get off my back. He'll deny everything.
I still think it's worth it.
I only have a couple of minutes. Let's look at this. Why don't we go up to London next week, Andy?
Oh, why not?
I wish we could just go over to that hole in the fence and walk away from here.
Where would we go?
Wouldn't care. Just as long as it's as far away from here as possible.
Awesome.
We can't, of course. There's a war to win. I'll just do what they all do. Press on.
Sam, don't jump down my throat. But why don't you put in for a commission like Daddy said?
We went through this last weekend.
I know.
I don't want to be a bloody officer.
The only way you can stop people like Terry Sweet from having the upper hand is by becoming one of them.
If you wanted just Terry Sweet for a husband, you should have married him.
Sorry?
It's not as though you didn't have a chance.
What?
I know, Ruth, about you and him.
Know what?
You and him.
What are you talking
Ruth,
about?
Please, don't lie to me. You knew him before me. You did, didn't you?
What do you mean, know him?
Now, that would have suited Mummy and Daddy better, wouldn't it? Public school boy, officer class.
Oh, stop it, Sam. Look, I haven't a clue what's brought
He's an old boyfriend, isn't he? Flight Lieutenant Sweet.
Rubbish!
Don't lie to me, Ruth. You went out with him, didn't you? He
Her mother told me the whole story last weekend. She thought it was a joke.
Oh, yeah.
We remember Teddy Sweet, all right. What a charming boy. Very struck on Ruth, he was. What a coincidence. He's on your squad.
He went to school with my brother.
Of course, he bloody would, wouldn't he? Want to see the rest of it?
He was nothing to me. It was nothing like that.
Well, he's something to me. Flight Lieutenant Sweet, 7 years younger than me, and treats me like I'm a 13-year-old, and he's my effing prefect.
He's a chump, always was. Don't let quarrel, please, sir.
Why don't you tell me? That's what all this smirking and asking after you is about. I've got to go. Pilots and navigators briefing.
Sam! Oh. Quickly, Albus, we're getting soaked!
It was a little town with a lot of people of government, and there was from the German army, there was a division, and the commander of the division was an uncle of mine.
Oberleutnant, a word!
Yes?
Is there an SS headquarters in this town?
Yes, at the Val Hotel.
Well, how do I get there?
You follow this road till you come to the old walls and turn right on the Kaiserstrasse. You see trees by the road. It's just after the trees begin. You see it on the left. Have you come far?
Did you get that, Tyler?
Yes. There are black and white sentry boxes. You can't miss
one. One hotel.
That's it. Only my son is in the battle, he says. He's on the eastern front with Army Group South.
Some of these people are so ill-mannered. What is it?
I don't know. He frightened me.
That's the whole idea of the SS.
Seventy miles away in Holland, the officers' mess of Night Fighter Station Grimsby.
Overlighting known, sir.
Corporal Blessing. What on earth are you doing in here?
Would you come with me, Overlighting?
Not just at the moment, Blessing. By the way,
I'm afraid I have to insist.
I beg your pardon.
My identity papers.
Right, Central Security. I thought you were in charge of the foreign cleaners, Blessing.
And so do all these officers in here. Now, I must insist you come quiet.
What is all this about?
A matter of espionage.
Did I please you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You're so beautiful. So soft. So firm.
Oh, don't go. Oh, I never knew such pleasure.
I should get dressed. The car's waiting.
Oh, not yet. Hold me.
I love you, Anna, but I have to get dressed. What is it?
I've seen this room so many times, cleaning and polishing it, that I've never seen this view before.
You'll see it often from now on, I promise you.
Oh, your medal scratched my shoulder.
I'm sorry. Let me kiss it better.
I shall look at this little mark tonight and think of you.
I should have taken it off.
It's the blue marks, isn't it?
Yep.
You got it for shooting down 11 British aircraft in the last war.
How do you know?
Paul told me.
He shouldn't have been boasting.
He wasn't boasting. I asked him.
I had hoped to hear from him before I left. When I write, I would like to tell him of our plans.
Oh, no, don't tell him yet.
Why not?
He might not approve.
You and he get on well enough, don't you?
Did he say that?
Don't you like him?
He's your son, of course I like him.
That SS man in the street just now. He'd come from the Russian front. His driver was an Asiatic. The news from Kharkov is not good.
Paul will look after himself.
17, that's all he is.
It's my age when I shot down my first British aircraft.
Were you afraid, August?
Yes. I was afraid anyone would think I was afraid. I saw his face, you know. That English flyer. I think his gun's jammed. He and the Observer were both killed. Saw the wreckage later. Blood on the canvas.
And now with your radar, you help other young pilots.
I'm a desk-bound old man.
To me, you're still a hero, protecting us. And you're the best lover I've ever had.
You don't need to lie to me.
It's true. And you wish you'd been the first.
What's past needn't concern us. Let's live for the present.
And the future.
Of course, our future will be together.
Oh, look, August, that's lightning. Mm. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Oh, close. Do you know how to tell how far away a storm is, August?
You can never be sure.
It's a good feeling when you have someone who fought against the enemy to save us. It is just this feeling. Each one had this feeling. We knew that they had defended us.
Wally Fenn Operations Room. The teleprinter brings confirmation of tonight's target and details of the route to be taken. Rendezvous Southwold, then to 51 degrees 48 minutes north, 3 degrees 50 minutes east. Target 070 degrees 650 yards from target, codename Mazia A. Turn left from target, then to Nordvik, then base. Aim to cause maximum destruction to enemy industrial center.
Take this waveform to Wing Commander Monroe straight away.
Yes, ma'am.
At the briefing, all the details will be passed to the men who will fly in the aircraft. The decisions on the target, the number of aircraft to take part, and the bomb loads were made much earlier today at Bomber Command Headquarters at High Wycombe.
There was a central table in this large room, and Harris would come in and sit down, and I don't get any impression that he was hurrying to his desk. He knew he was going to get there. He knew what he had to do, and he went down to it. No reluctance either.
It was at precisely 9 a.m. this morning that Commander-in-Chief Bomber Command, Air Marshal Sir Arthur Harris, had studied the vast array of intelligence, maps, lists of targets, and previous bombing raid photographs. As always, a small group of high-ranking RAF officers gathered around him.
Do we have the latest from Met?
Yes, sir, here it is.
Looks like we're on for tonight, then.
Well, I'll ask him to report in person, sir. He's waiting outside.
If you'd be so kind, Wing Commander.
Tell the Met man we're ready.
Thank you, sir.
The previous night's operations and photographs are still recorded on the giant boards on the wall. An officer alters the total on the fail-to-return tally from 24 to 23.
One of the four groups, Halifaxes, was trying to make a wheels-up landing at the emergency dome at Woodbridge, sir, but ended up at the new American base at Flamingham instead.
What's that make it?
4.4% losses, sir.
Oh.
Eight group had a good night, sir. Only two missing.
Yes. Ah, Mr. Fitzherbert.
Morning, sir.
Well, what can we expect tonight over the Ruhr?
These are the predicted fronts for this evening, sir. At present, thunderstorms are moving across the Rhine ahead of this cold front here, but they will clear by late this afternoon. We'll get a spit up over the target later, but we expect a thin layer of medium cloud somewhere between 1,000 and 20,000 feet. Moderate to good visibility. Northeast winds, light to moderate.
Northern France?
Much the same. Well-broken cloud in the northwest.
And what's the weather going to be like over England for a return around midnight?
By then the low will be here, or thereabouts, and a chance of rain. Nothing serious. Patchy cloud somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 feet. No fog or icing.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzherbert. That'll do nicely.
Thank you, sir.
Target maps, please, Wing Commander.
Sir.
Each town targeted is marked by a color-coded reference. Industrial targets, railway centers, oil installations. Harris peers closely at the Ruhr, Duisburg, Essen, Dortmund, and Krefeld. The shortest route to each is marked, and flying times and fuel loads to each target are marked alongside.
Better than expected.
So what's available?
In total, might manage 750 heavies, 160 mediums.
Let's go for 600 heavies and 100 mediums.
Very good, sir.
Since Churchill and Roosevelt's conference in Casablanca a few weeks before, U.S. and British bombers were targeting Germany on a daily basis. The Americans by day, the British by night. The overall aim of the combined bombing campaign was the progressive destruction and dislocation of the German military, industrial, and economic system and the undermining of the morale of the German people to a point where their capacity for armed resistance was fatally weakened. It was Harris's task to implement the British end of this directive.
All right, gentlemen. Our target for tonight is Krefeld. Steelworks, chemical plants, aircraft engines and railway yards. Target files, Wing Commander. Krefeld primary and Bremen as weather alternative, just in case Mr. Fitzherbert's cold front doesn't move the way he thinks.
Target files, Harry.
Sir, I have them waiting, sir.
Mr. Ashton, well done, my girl. Guess right.
Nora Ashton, 19 years old, a WAF clerical section, smiles as she hands over the files. That morning, she had written to her boyfriend at Worley Fen. He would never read her letter. His name is Simon Cohen, and tonight he will be navigator on O Orange's last operation.
This is Krefeld, gentlemen. HR 2030. I propose to hit it here hard in two waves, with a 20-minute pause between them.
Second wave, HR 2120.
I know it involves more of a threat from the night fighters, Donald, but that's more than set off by the chance of catching his fire and rescue chaps off guard. It has a profoundly dispiriting effect on the population, too. If when they think it's all over, another wave starts pounding them, what? At least a third of all aircraft tonight to carry one 4,000-pounder, and as many as possible pistols fused for long delay. I also propose to increase the proportion of high explosive to incendiary by 10%.
Sir.
We need to get those roofs off, crack open their buildings, and then we can set them alight. Hopefully the forecast winds will materialize and spread the fire. Pathfinder mosquitoes, what's their availability?
14 listed. They've been out every night this week. Last night they had a few problems with the oboe set, sir.
6 should be adequate. Oboe mosquitoes have no excuse for not getting their reds right on the mark. Can we muster 6?
Should be no problem, sir.
Any questions?
Use severity concentrated and personified. He had a lot on his mind, and you could tell that. For instance, let's say they had a big raid on, and everybody went out, and none of the aircraft could have landed anywhere in England afterwards. Quite a possibility.
And that's it.
If there's a Met update...
I'll be back at the house from 12 onwards. PM's coming for a briefing.
Very good, sir.
Going to show him the bombing pictures, and then perhaps a spot of lunch. Jolly good success last night, Mr. Hunter. Only 23 failed to return.
Still over 140 men lost.
What?
I was just saying, the men lost.
It's in the nature of war that young men die, Group Captain. I accept losses. I have to accept them, to expect them.
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to.
I am convinced, and so is Mr. Churchill, that we can win this war from the air. We are wiping out their munition factories, oil installations and transportation, starving them of the means to continue fighting. Remember Cologne, Mr. Hunter? A few more colognes and it will be over. And however many young men we have to lose to achieve this end, they will not die in vain.
Yes, sir.
And if I have to flatten the whole of Germany, I will do so.
Here, well away from the dispersals, in the most northerly corner of Worley Fen RAF station, is the bomb dump, behind huge blast walls and camouflage from the air. The bombs for tonight's raid are taken from here and winched onto low loading trolleys. Each trolley can carry one 4,000-pound cylindrical cookie bomb, or 8 250-pound bombs, or 4 500-pounders. Worley's 16 Lancasters will each carry one cookie, as well as a variety of other smaller-sized high-explosive and incendiary bombs. Several trolleys are linked together to make up one aircraft's bomb load and then pulled away by a tractor. This tractor driver, like many others, is a WAF. Her name is Madge Scott, and she's 18 years old. Madge's first stop with her train of bombs is the fuse hut, which is open on both sides like a large blacksmith shed. She halts with the trolleys inside. Here, the armorers insert the timers, fuses, and firing mechanisms. The delayed action timers are set here, too, according to orders. Anything from a few seconds to 6 days. Matt Scott skillfully brings the bomb train around the perimeter road and onto the concrete stand, circling the aircraft and steering as close to it as possible. The Bombay doors on each aircraft stand open. The tractor is unhitched, and the armorers manhandle each trolley the last few yards till it sits under the open bomb doors. The winching up of each bomb into the dark of the bomb bay begins.
Hello there.
Sorry? Thought it was you.
It's me, all right.
You're in the dog and gentleman, the night, weren't you? At Battersby, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, it's you! Oh, look a bit different in your overalls.
You're a bit of a sweet talker, aren't you, Batters?
How are you settling in?
Well, they always say the first week's the worst. Not a bad billet, though. Is this your aircraft?
No, mine's over there. Oh, orange.
I thought it was creaking something.
Tractor.
Oh, yeah, its nickname's Creaking Dog.
Yeah, that's it. Never falls off, right?
Hold the bloody tractor.
Sorry, Sergeant.
Look, you haven't seen Flight Sergeant Worthington, our chiefie, have you?
No, I haven't. I
have to find him, Matt. I'll see you later.
Is that a nickname he's painting on this way?
Yeah, the skipper's rechristening L. Love, Joe for King.
Joe for King?
Joe Starling. Oh, here he is now, talking to Tommy Carter.
To Starling?
Flight Sergeant Worthington. Maybe see you later.
Got to get loaded up again. Look, what?
Oh, nothing.
Cheerio for now, then.
Mind how you go.
Right.
What do they call you?
Madge,
the Everseed. Hey, Battersby, what the hell are you playing at, lad? I want a word in your show like about that starving jetty.
The Vault Hotel, SS Headquarters, Altgarten, about the same time. Sturmbannfuhrer Fischer stands at the window of his room and watches the sacks and bundles being unloaded from his car.
Come! Yes?
Your food, sir, and a bottle of schnapps.
Good.
Are you part of the new elite SS division they're talking about, sir?
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh,
that's what I'd like to be posted to, something like that. It's a backwater here in Altgarten. Nothing happens.
Do your duty today, and I'll see what I can do. What age are you?
16, Herr Sturmbannfuhrer.
Good. Did you get me the information? This man, Voss, where he's living?
54 Florestrasse. He has a tailoring business. It was suspected he was employing Jews. But for some reason, nothing has been done. He's small.
Florestrasse. I asked directions in Florestrasse. I know where it is.
Is he an enemy of the Reich, Herr Sturmbannfuhrer?
No, he is a tailor. I need a new uniform. Get moving, soldier. Keep close guard on those trunks they're bringing in from the car. If anything is harmed, I'll have you hung with piano wire.
It would be tonight, under cover of darkness, SS Sturmbannfuhrer Fischer decided that he would go to Herr Voss's house on Florestrasse. At that moment, this afternoon, however, three doors from Helmut Voss's house, August Bach left Anna to return to radar station Ermin.
Take care of yourself, August.
Tell Hanselm he's the man of the house while I'm away. And if there is an air raid...
They won't bomb him.
Please,
yet.
Please humour me. I have to know you'll be safe.
Herr Foster, sir.
Yes.
I love you.
No tears, please. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Drive on.
As the car drove away from Florestrasse, the rain stopped and a patch of clearer weather came in from the east. The sun would shine throughout Europe that winter afternoon in 1943. Even at Krunsvik, the sun made an appearance as Oberleutnant Victor Löwenherz accompanied two men along the edge of the airfield.
I find this all very strange. Secret police and military intelligence working together.
I'm so pleased to meet you in person, Herr Baron Oberleutnant. I've seen you often in newsreels, and of course, your photograph and signal are true right here.
A blessing here said something about espionage.
Wouldn't the Sturmbannfuhrer be a blessing, I told you, to wait for me?
What am I accused of? Should I have a lawyer present?
A certain medical file has been stolen. Our friend Lessing here has been watching one of your men and believes it to be in his possession.
Who are you accusing, Blessing?
Has he shown it to you?
Who?
You were talking to him just a short time ago.
I've spoken to virtually all 12 pilots on my wing today. I am their staff up in time.
Which of them do you think might have done it?
None of them.
Tell him, Blessing.
Sir Officer Himmel.
Oh. Christian Himmel. Himmel has the Knight's Cross.
What does that prove? So do you.
Please. excuse blessing, Herr Baron. You're not under suspicion. But Unser Offizier Himmel...
Do you have evidence?
Himmel had the file in his bedside locker. I found it there early this morning. At his quarters at 9 o'clock. My people checked his locker again. It was gone. You're the only person he saw.
This is your evidence. Anyone could have planted it, including yourself, Blessing. What does Himmel say?
He doesn't know we're onto him. We wanted to see who else was in this spy ring.
I have known Christian Himmel for 3 years. He's not interested in anything but aircraft and flying. He is not political.
What were you discussing this afternoon?
Oil leaks.
Really?
I've nothing more to say. I would stake my life on his loyalty.
That is exactly what you are doing.
How did he seem, Herr Baron? Anxious, depressed, worried about him?
He seemed his usual self.
You hesitate.
We're night fighter pilots like Dr. Starkoff. It is more dangerous work than snooping in people's bedside lockers. Sometimes we wonder just how long our luck will hold out.
Quite.
It's natural to feel a little apprehensive from time to time. And that is how Himmel is feeling today.
We're very interested to have this file back, and, of course, to learn who has seen it.
Christian would not do something like this.
In that case, cooperate with us and prove his innocence.
Right, I'll be happy to. And when I do, I shall be speaking to my own contacts at the Reich Chancellery in Berlin about exactly what we pilots have to put up with from you. Blessing.
At Warley Fen, the equipping, fueling and bombing up of the 16 Lancasters has been going on all day. From the cockpit of O Orange, Sam Lambert can see that bombing up is almost completed on Tommy Carter's aircraft on the stand nearest to his. What Sam couldn't possibly know was that the first victim of the raid on Krefeld was about to die.
Anything else, Matters?
No, everything checked out.
Looks like our bombs are on the way. Let's get out of here. Something like a child before the briefing.
You're coming over to the nappy, Diggers?
Yeah, in a minute. The armourers are still working on Alpha Love. I can see them.
Haven't you signed up yet, Matt?
Are you going to Orange, Sarge? I'll finish up here.
No, I'll wait for you. You want help taking the safety clip off the trucker?
No,
it's fine.
I'll do it.
Okay, it was a big bit of metal, and it treated it with respect, particularly people like armourers and that sort of thing who were loading them. I didn't give it much of a thought about what it was really going to do. You hoped it would go off, because I have read statistics somewhere, and 4 out of 10 never went off. Must have gone off later. It's not, you know, like they wanted you to chalk things on the bombs, you know, which you never did. That was strictly for journalists and things.
You all right?
There's something on the retaining jaw of the cookie.
Now, we'll leave it, Mac. Pull the clip and don't touch a thing, mate. Let's go.
I've got to check it.
You want me to have a look?
No, it's all right, Sergeant. I'll do it. Looks like it. What is it? Nick from shrapnel. Something on the jaw. Come on. Let's need to... Come on, let's have a closer. Yeah. Oh, come on, you wee thing. Right. Oh, yeah!
Oh, run! Get the hell away from the overhead bomb train! It's gonna go in!
Get out of there!
Get the hell out of it! There's been an accident! Get help, will you? Get out of
here! Get down, everybody. A cookie's just dropped out of a love's bomb bay. Looks like he's got the poor shot under it. He'll see. If that goes up, we're all done for.
What happened? It's good noise. Didn't you hear the clang?
Felt it.
What are we going to do, Skip?
Something like this happened at my last station. Leg went up in its full load. Killed 20 blokes.
Maybe we should get away from the cockpit.
This fuselage would be much protection. It's going to make a bit of a bang.
Don't worry, we won't hear it.
It won't go off now, Willis. I mean, if it was going to go off, it would have gone off an impact straight away.
None of it's a delayed action, please.
Oh, Christ, help. I thought I was asking...
Shut up, Matters. Sorry. Pray if you want to, but do it back there by yourself.
No, I'll stay here.
Within half an hour, the faulty release jaw was replaced, and the cookie, which was not harmed, was winched back into place. The setting of its timer had been armourer Ian MacDonald's last job. His crushed corpse was removed to the mortuary. In less than an hour after the accident, L for Love was pronounced bombed up and ready to go. The pilot, Tommy Carter, when he heard about it, felt that the accident was an omen of bad luck, but he never said anything. Mad Scott, the tractor driver, insisted she finish her shift. And during the briefing, she drove the bomb train back to Ulpha Orange, where its deadly load was winched into the bomb bay.
Also, we lost some of our own ground crew. One of our number was killed underneath the undercarriage of a Lancaster when there was a wrong connection. I just saw this thing go down on its knees, just like a camel. And this chap was just throttled and just couldn't do a thing.
My dear August.
Gert Berg, meanwhile, was in Alpgarten writing a letter.
This letter will cause you. I have to write it and must let you know the truth about Anna Luisa. This Anna Luisa you are now talking of marrying. Rather than seeing you make a fool of yourself, I must risk losing your friendship. It is my duty as your cousin to tell you she is far from being the innocent she seems. I am sure that if you had not been so infatuated, you would have seen this for yourself, but today I see it is up to me.
Gert will struggle over this letter, correcting and altering it for the next hour before posting it at 5 p.m. at Altgarten's main post office in Kaiser Wilhelmstrasse. August will never receive it.
Well, Hansel, I'm glad we no longer live in Krefeld. I think this is a very nice town.
Anna Luisa brings Hansel back from the railway station after a visit to a friend's house in Krefeld, 7 miles away. It is now just before 3:30 p.m.
I like the city better.
What? Better than all the lovely countryside around Altgarten?
Why did Daddy leave before I got back?
They sent a car and he had to go.
I wanted to see him.
He'll be back in 2 weeks.
Can we stop at the fire station?
I don't know.
Please, Anna Luisa.
I want to get home.
Why can't we live in Krefeld?
Because it's not safe there.
Thank bomb shelters. Let me look at the fire engine, Anna. Please, just 1 minute.
Good afternoon, young Hansel. Fräulein?
Johannes Ilfer, chief fire commander at Altgarten, 20 years old.
Yes. Let's have a look at the fire engine.
Of course you do. Sure thing. Have a look around.
Don't get in the way of the fireman. Is it all right?
Of course, Fräulein. Go on, young one, have a look around. I was going to have some coffee.
Oh, no, not today, thank you.
So, do you still want to be a fireman when you grow up, Hansel? I don't recommend it, not in wartime. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Come into the office. Look after the young fellow, lads, will you?
No. His father went back to his unit today.
Come on, Hansel.
Well, we must all do our duty. Perhaps I'd better call round tonight when the young fellow's in bed and check your fire precautions.
You're very good at putting out fires, but not much good at lighting them, if you take my meaning. I hear you're chief now.
Promotion comes quickly in wartime, like death. Let me see you tonight, Anna.
August has asked me to marry him.
Oh?
I've said yes.
He'll never marry you, Anna Luisa. Ah, Hansel, have a look at these pictures. British bombers. Look, Lancaster, Stirling, Wellington. Don't worry, the Luftwaffe can shoot them all down.
We should be going, Hansel.
Know what this is? A 30-pound phosphorus bomb. And this is a 4-pound incendiary stick.
My father had told us about the air raid in Düsseldorf, and he knew that there were phosphorus bombs, and this bombs could not be extinguished since the phosphorus spread. It was impossible to do it, and therefore we were very afraid.
Just like that. This one, we found this in the rubble of a bombed-out house in Krefeld. It's a 500-pound general-purpose bomb. It's been fixed. Don't worry. You can tell by its colour. Women too come in different colours. You've heard of scarlet women, Hansel.
That's enough for today.
Oh, what's the matter?
Bombs aren't a joking matter. We used to live in Krefeld. Come on, Hansel.
My mummy was killed by a bomb. She's in heaven.
Well, come on in, Flight Lieutenant Freeze.
Station commander's office, Wally Fenn.
Sit yourself down.
Thank you, sir.
Cigarette?
Do you mind if I do? Thank you.
So, how are you enjoying being a flight commander?
Well, I must say I had no idea how much paperwork it took to get a kite in the air.
Well, now you know where the war's really for, eh? Saturation bombing of airfields by Air Ministry Bump and all in blasted triplicate.
Dash nuisance, especially when all a chap wants is to get out and kill Huns.
That's it, sweet. That's what we're here to do.
Now, I want your advice, sir.
Oh, fire away.
About one of my chaps, Lambert.
Lambert? Yes, I know him.
NCO.
Yeah, brought back that Halifax on two engines.
Damn good pilot, once. But lately...
Well, go on, sweet.
He's acting rather strangely.
Spit it out, man.
I've just been discussing crewing with him, and the Dash chap accused me of taking his best men and trying to get him killed.
Well, the men don't like crew changes. They get to depend on each other.
Well, I know that, sir. I wouldn't do it lightly, but this is a tactical move designed to improve our hit rate.
Good show. Lambert. Yes. His navigator was shot up over Essen. What was that young man's
name? The thing is, sir, I think he might have a touch of the jitters.
Oh.
It's not just him I'm concerned about. What's the effect on the other chaps in his crew? He has a damn good navigator, a public school chap, Cohen, Gregson's replacement, and a pretty smart bomb aimer. They're wasted with a pilot who's lost his nerve.
Think you might have.
I've heard a lot of defeatist stuff from him lately. Not good for young chaps like Fleming to have to listen to that.
Hmm.
And then there's the business of his wife.
What about his wife?
Well, it turns out she's on the base in safety.
Oh, can't be. Against regulations.
They married last year without informing records office.
And they're living together on the base.
A rented cottage in the village.
Safety section. Name?
She's a frightfully decent girl, actually. I was at Winchester with her brother.
Her name, sweet. I assume she's not known as Mrs. Lambert.
Corporal Ruth Taylor.
Oh, sometimes I think there are too many blasted NCOs in officers' jobs. I mean, that's the whole problem with the RAF these days.
Mm.
Look at us here at Worley. 12 pilots and 6 navigators or officers, and all the rest ragtag and bobtails. Not enough of the public school chaps to go around.
I just thought you ought to know.
Yeah, well, I've always felt a chap who loses his nerve should be put under something he can handle.
I couldn't agree more.
Leave it with me.
There was an Air Ministry order, and a very, in my view, an extremely cruel Air Ministry order that said... Anyone that refuses to do what he enlisted to do, in the main, ended up as AC-1s or LACs, whatever they were. Terrible in life.
Oh, by the way, sir, have you heard about this experiment I'm trying with the rear turret on Lambert's aircraft?
No.
Well, the idea came to me the other morning when I opened the window to see better.
As Sweet left the group commander's office, an RAF Spitfire, a Met observation aircraft, passed high over Altgarten. The trip from England to the Ruhr and back at 420 miles per hour took just 92 minutes. The pilot scribbled the position of the cold front onto the notepad strapped to his thigh. His report would be used at the briefing. It would forecast clear skies above the target, patchy cloud, and very little wind. To young Hanselbach, looking out of a window in his father's house in Florestrasse, the aircraft was a dot high above him.
Look, Anna, it's a Messerschmitt.
I can't tell one aircraft from another.
It's going to kill the terror bombers.
That's enough.
Can the pilot see heaven, Anna?
No, it's much too high.
But Mummy looks down and sees me.
At Grunsvig Luftwaffe night fighter station, Oberleutnant Löwenherd straps into the radar operator's seat behind Unteroffizier Christian Himmel in his Junkers 88.
Didn't Victor ask you to take his place for the test, Victor?
No, Christian. I ordered him to stand down. I wanted an opportunity for a private talk.
Oh, right. I see. There's the signal. Clear to take off.
The Junkers lifted at the end of the runway and climbed steeply over the black waters of the Isonmeer. Meanwhile, 50 miles south of The Hague on the Dutch North Sea coast, huge Freyr and Würzburg radar dishes look out to sea. 200 yards from the water's edge is a group of huts joined by boardwalks. This is radar station Ermin. Its commander, Oberleutnant August Bach.
So you had a good evening, sir.
Unteroffizier Willy Raneker, 46. August Bach, senior NCO at Ermine.
Thank you, Willy.
Reasonable journey from Cripple?
Algarten.
Oh, yes. You moved, didn't you? I know Algarten. Been through it a few times. Medieval town centre, famous old church.
Mm-hmm. You pro-kick. The stove's nice and warm. It's freezing out there.
Not a hot chocolate soup.
You think of everything, Willy. You join me?
Oh, right.
We'll have a drop of brandy with it.
What news from home? Your boy, Hansel. How is he?
It's growing too fast. Oh, thanks. Just to, destruction of the Tommies.
Any word of Paul?
You heard the bad news from Kharkov.
Mm.
They say it's a tactical withdrawal, but reading between the lines... No, I've heard nothing.
There'll be something one of these days.
Between you and me, Willy, I'm worried. When you're young, you take such risks.
We both did, certainly.
I was just telling somebody today... Paul is almost exactly the age I was when I shot down my first English pilot.
There you are.
I hope to God this is all over before Hansel reaches an age to get involved.
Me too, sir.
Right, charge report.
Nothing too serious, sir. Young Roy Barker and his mate Dan ago were arrested drunk in town. The other three are conduct prejudicial.
Right.
Two more of our bicycles have been nicked.
When was this?
Last night, sir. The Dutch civilian police have been informed.
Mm-hmm.
Those bike thieves must be trembling in their clothes, I don't think. This is the latest intelligence report. Looks like they're planning something big tonight.
We'll see soon enough. Billy, I've some good news to tell you.
Oh, I thought I saw a light miss in your step.
Yes. I'm getting married again.
Who's the lucky woman?
Anna Louisa, of course.
Oh, your rad girl?
Well, yes, she came to us as a rad girl, Willy, but she was always more than that. Even before Lena was killed, she was special to us. She's less than half my age, but this afternoon I told her how I felt, and, well, she feels the same way.
Well, congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
I don't believe it, Sam.
The Maffey, Wally Fenn, Digby and Sam Lambert.
Me neither, but it's true. He's not going to get away with it. I mean, don't get me wrong, Skip. It's not the idea of leaving you. It's the thought of flying with Sweet
Skipper.
Thanks, Digby.
Well, we might all be dead before tomorrow.
Where are you going?
To sort it out.
Leave it.
Come over at the briefing.
The time I got a bit worried was when I walked in the briefing room and they showed you where that red ribbon was. I think, God, I didn't want to go there.
Of our own accord.
Gentlemen!
You think the old groupie was going into Bradford England, Skip?
Well, he thinks he is.
Okay, Pat, sit down and play, huh?
Sorry I'm late, Skip.
Mr. Thing, Bessie, you feeling better?
Just a touch of the rums. I'll be fine.
Don't come if you're going to want to sit on the cars all night.
Something I ate, Skip. I'm all right now.
Good night.
Oh, no. I'm not the old type of team.
I think groupie first himself as Bobble.
You're more like his brother.
You know Bobble, a brother?
No.
Hope?
Oh, yeah.
Appalling.
Now, the target for tonight is
Crapper
in the
room. Oh, happy valley.
No wonder you got an attack of the rams.
Happy valley, isn't it?
We'll be part of the first wave and supporting 8 group Pathfinder force. Let's put on a damn good show. Take off 1745, 0 hour 2030. With you at 0 hour. Captain Ludlow?
Group Captain Ludlow, 27, navigation leader, 38 trips.
Assembly point at a south bow, 12 to 15,000 feet. Get up to 18,000 feet before you get to my yellow marker here on the Dutch coast. Then turn towards the target. Any questions? Good. Keep together. If you get out of the stream, use your G to get back on track. That's what it's for. And it'll work a clear way towards Happy Valley.
Yeah. We weren't airmen going out to bomb German towns. We were schoolboys going out to raid a rival school.
It was just the sort of feeling that was abroad. It was unreal.
Now, there will be over 700 plus bombers at the breakout receiving yet. So keep your positions and hats, and for God's sake, no crossing the forest, please. That's how collisions happen. They turn off the target, gain speed by losing heart. But don't go below 8,000 feet as you pass northeast on the way back. The route is plotted to avoid the black concentrations at Rotterdam on the way out and off Amsterdam on the way back. Any questions?
Sir?
Mrs. Reed?
Any chance of avoiding black over the target?
The image has seemed pretty sure it will be cloudy over the crater, which will make their searchlights less effective. Does that answer your
question? Won't affect the radar control, DACAC, though, will it?
With all that current?
No problem, Skip.
Fear of being thought fearful was greater than the fear of the actual fear of going on the bombing raid.
Ten 10,000 feet over the North Sea, Christian Himmel brings the Junkers 88 level.
Pilot to radio operator. Yes, Himmel? Feel under your seat. What? Under your seat, I've left something for you. Luftwaffe High Command Medical Corps. Secret. Why have you got this? Have a look through it. Freezing experiments on human beings. They've been killing prisoners in concentration camps. Freezing them to death. Where did you get this? Have a look at it, Lerbenhurst. Don't think I want to. Did you think this was what we're fighting for? It's not our business, Himmel. It is. These sadistic pigs are doing it in our name. It says Luftwaffe on the cover, see? What are you going to do with it? Let people know what's going on. What people? The British. Our own people. We Germans aren't barbarians. Read it, Victor. You can talk freely. I turned the wireless off. When I saw it on Ferb's desk, saw the photographs. You stole this from the medical center. That's one of our own flagships. They fired it in the sky, idiots. You all right? What? Now just click through it, look at the photographs, then you'll understand why I took it. I wish you hadn't. What can I do? Turn the other way? Concentration camps, exterminating people in medical experiments. Don't know a thing about it. I can't do it. Damn conscripts. Don't worry. We're out of range. That would be the biggest joke. Surviving all this time to get shot by your own side. Yes. Wouldn't it?
Thank you all. Any further questions, see me afterwards.
Here comes Jeremy.
Oh. Shut up and crash landed three times. Not a scratch on him.
Afternoon, Captain. Settle down.
Squadron leader Jeremy Giles. Bombing leader of tonight's operation.
I've heard it all before, but I don't give a monkey's. Listen again. First up, Pathfinder mosquitoes. They'll mark the target with red flares. They're equipped with far more up-to-date than us, so they're rare to what to look for. If you can't see them, then go for the middle of this square of green.
Are you all right, Skipper? Just resting my eyes.
I am, sir. You okay?
I've got to go again. Sorry.
Leave your book. I'll take any notes.
All right.
Something you didn't eat upset your stomach. You'll be okay once the wheels lift. Where is it, Cohen?
There was a fly on your shoulder.
Leave him alone. Maybe the poor sod's at the end of his second tour.
The reality of death and the likelihood of death was so obvious, so patent, that it was accepted as and it was trivialized in terms like getting the chop and going for a burden. Your friend wasn't killed last night, he brought you.
Intelligence officer Longfellow.
Tonight we are attacking Crescent.
You can come with us, sir.
You can sit on mining, sir.
Sir, where were you bombing? Now, I said this before, but I think it's worth saying again. Some of you are still dropping your bombs early and short of target. I like that. First light, please, Corporal. This photograph was taken 3 minutes into the radar essence last week. Next one. 5 minutes in. Yes. 7 minutes in. You see the bombs, they're in further and further away from the setup as the rate progresses. I know the name for this. It is called creepback. Some people say the reason for creepback is often illusion. But I think it's more about crews getting cold feet. I know people are reluctant to talk about it, but I want no bloody creepback tonight, clear? Do the plastic job properly, keep Creswell, not the countryside around me. Alright, I know when Blackie's coming up, everyone gets itchy fingers.
Although it was never told to crews at briefing, Bomber Command, in fact, made allowance for creepback by having target indicators dropped on the far side of the area they wanted destroyed.
Countryside, why aren't we sending you all the way to Germany? We've got plenty of potatoes wheels here at home.
Bloody old tear warriors, you're fighting the last drop of some other fucking blood.
We were all of us launched on a sort of wave of fate, I suppose, almost, and we were rolled along by it. Questioning of the objective of what we were doing. Bomber crews being very individual and not going much forth or the usual distance. Somehow it wouldn't extend to asking that sort of question.
Go out there tonight and rip the guts out of the hiding creeper!
Sir! Hell's teeth, what are you doing, Sam? Sit down, mate.
It's all right, Dibby, I'm going to ask a question.
Sir!
Yes?
I'd like to know exactly what are the guts of Krefeld, sir?
What?
Flight Sergeant Sam Lambert, B Flight. My question is, what exactly are we aiming at in the centre of that city? Tenements? People's houses? I mean, what's there? Hospitals? What?
Good question, Mr. Lambert. Tell the mayor what you're destroying, Mr. Lambert. I don't think any of them have colonies. The Deutsche Edelstadt, that's a major works, and a Gestapo...
In my experience, they were always viable targets relating to industry, but never specifically just the workers' dwellings.
You're right, Skipper.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's it matter? What's that? We're going to bomb it anyway.
Word of wireless, Jeff. Haven't much to add to what you already have.
Well, Mr. Sweet, I see what you mean about Lambert. Nearly unsettled the whole squadron. Well done, Longfellow. Good work.
Thank you, sir.
One rotten apple. That's all it takes, sir.
Lambert's definitely got a touch of the jitters. You'd better have him out of Wally before he infects anyone else.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Now, the message from Met. Mr. Younger.
Thank you, Mr. Kevin.
There was an alternative, but it was called LMF, Lack of Moral Fiber. And if you can imagine some poor boy going through what they went through for, say, 20 flights, and then he cracks, and he's thrown out, muck. Scum on the lack of moral power.
You couldn't say I've had enough. You could. And what was it? LMF, lack of moral fibre. And you were invalided out and stripped and cleaning out the latrines or whatever, you see. Works job. And a certain amount of ignominy with it. I suppose today you'd see a psychiatrist and get compensation or something like that.
Oh no. You went back because. You know, that was the alternative, and you couldn't face that alternative of LMF.
Freezing cloud between 17 and 20,000. Winds northeasterly around 20 miles per hour over the target, and less than, say, 15 to 17 on the route.
The Met Man's outline of the weather situation was based on a forecast which showed the curving line of the low front, in places, more than 200 miles in error.
Come on.
Krunzwig Luftwaffe Station. Oberleutnant Victor Löwenherz waits for the phone to be answered at Military Intelligence HQ.
Dr. Starkov, please.
I was expecting you to ring von Löwenherz.
Well, how did you know it was me?
I understand you've been making inquiries.
Yes. I've spoken to Dr. Firth at the medical centre. He confirmed the file was taken.
Does Himmel still have the file?
I have it here.
Himmel has sent you a copy?
Well, not exactly.
Any letter with it?
Letter?
You seem rather confused, Herr Oberleutnant.
There's no letter, there's only the document.
Good.
What do you want me to do with it?
Hold on to it until I see you tomorrow.
I've no safe.
It's not as secret as all that. I have 14 other copies on my desk.
14?
It has been widely circulated officially to medical units at Luftwaffe stations.
I see.
There is no need for you to worry about one copy. Himmel has been sending them to many people, too. I can't imagine why yours has not been intercepted.
This is an official report, then.
Vice Marshal Goering himself sent a letter of congratulation to its author.
Have you read it?
Yes.
And?
What do you want me to say?
I found it rather shocking.
We are at war, Herr Oberleutnant. Maybe this research will save you from freezing to death one day if you come down to the North Sea. Ask yourself, who would you rather see die of cold? Yourself or some troublemaking Jews?
What about Himmel?
He'll be arrested first thing tomorrow. I'm sure you agree it's preferable we do it rather than blessing.
Well, not much more to say about tonight, gentlemen.
At Whalley Fen, the briefing ends, as always, with the squadron commander, Wing Commander Munro.
Well,
good.
I have a big raid tonight. 700 plus aircraft will be joined by Sterling.
They'll take brunt of it. What? Sterling's lumber along the coast. An easier target for night fighters.
And they play lower. They couple the
joint. Let's have another day's action over the target, gentlemen. There won't be any night fighters, not if there's black flying, which there will be. At your bombing height of 18,000 feet, you will be out of range of black flying anyway. Keep your course straight and level, and navigators, have those return routes plotted for after your bomb run. Again, just keep in the stream and you'll be home and dry. It's a well-planned show, chap. Let's set our watches. It is 15:51. Now, good luck, everyone.
Mr. Sweet, a word before you go.
Yes, Wing Commander?
These crew reshuffles, bad biz.
Not awfully sure I know what you mean, sir.
If anyone wants to change crews, tell them to come and see me.
You mean Digby and Cohen, sir?
Yes, I mean Digby and Cohen, Mr. Sweet.
Well, they will request, sir. Digby isn't at all happy about Lambert.
Look, before you go on, let me tell you, I've just had Flight Sergeant Digby, Royal Australian Air Force, in my office.
Oh.
He flatly refuses to leave Lambert's crew, and he says if he's forced to, he'll get in touch with Australia House.
Well, he had no right.
Go over your head. Mr. Sweet, you're lucky he only came to me and didn't ring up the Australian Prime Minister. Forget Sergeant Digby, even if he is one of the best bomb aimers in the squadron.
Cohen hasn't complained, has he, sir?
No.
Perhaps if I just move Cohen then, sir.
Yes, take Cohen. That's all, Mr. Sweet.
Good luck tonight, sir.
Yes, Chiefy?
Your night flight, sir.
Thank you. A very trying young man.
Going places, I understand, sir.
So, don't say I don't do the best I can for you, Sam. I have to transfer Cohen, but at least they saw sense over the bomb aimer.
Can I go and get kitted up now?
Word to the wise, Sambo. Groupie is rather concerned about your defeatist attitude.
My watch.
Asking about the target like that. Bad show.
Some of us won't be coming back tonight. I just thought we should know what we're dying for, that's all.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Skip. The crew's waiting.
Tell them to go to supper without me, Batty.
Sir.
It's talk like that that gets people killed.
Listen, you. I've done 47 trips. 20 more than you. I know what it's like to bring back dead crew. I've had friends screaming through the intercom for me to finish them off. But I've gone out again the next night. And the next, and the next. But I know my luck's running out now. So get off my back.
You've a touch of the jitters, that's all.
Anyone going off to Happy Valley who hasn't is a fool. Excuse me, sir.
I fly in milk. The joy of joys to aircraft was always eggs and bacon. They would always be joking, almost exhilarated. It was possibly a reaction that they knew that they were going to go on and off. They were, knew that they were afraid inwardly. They weren't going to show it to anybody outwardly.
Roll on. 10 more optimist tours.
Oh, don't give us that flesh. You sign up for another tour. Better than going back to the pit, isn't it, man?
I'm not going down pit again. Nice office job, me after it war. Clean nails, collar and tie.
You see my flying socks,
Bintie? Tell what I'm looking forward to as well, Bintie.
Getting
away from you.
Why don't you fellas give it a rest? I'm fighting over a bloody shirt is a waste of time.
Who's that then?
You get your letter off, Jimmy.
Yeah, tough. I reckon you know, Diggers, it's that stupid old mother who's put the wind up her. You know, saying little Tommy might have diphtheria or TB.
Yeah, bet the little fella's right as rain by now.
Yeah. I told her what you said about babies getting over things quick, Mike.
Good.
Sometimes I think this better suited to guys with no responsibilities.
Yeah, how'd you work that one out?
Well, yeah. You keep your mind on the job. Only got yourself to worry about.
Yeah, skipper's married.
We could see the new Cicely Courtnage musical, Mummy's Friend, Sybil. Saw it last week and says it's super.
I don't mind.
Sam, tonight's op. Is it?
Piece of cake.
Good. Look, Sam, about what Mummy said about Terry.
Forget it.
It's true, he did ask me out several times, and I went with him once to a school dance. He was a frightful bore, and I never went again. He used to come to the house with Tim, but I avoided him like the plague. That's the whole story, honestly.
I shouldn't. I'm sorry, Ruth.
He's nowhere near as good looking as you are. I love you, Sam.
It's nearly 4. I have to go.
Oh, you've missed crew supper.
I'd rather spend the time with you.
You look tired.
Don't wait for me tonight.
In less than 2 hours, the 16 Lancasters will take off from Worley Fen, and the German flak and night fighters will be waiting for them. As Sam Lambert walked away from his wife that afternoon, he was afraid. Afraid he would never see her again.
The one girl was engaged, and her boyfriend was to have finished his tour of ops, and they were going to get married that week. And the very last of his first tour, he was shot down.
I said, you're married, you've got 2 young kids. He said, I know. He said, but I'm not worried, he said. God will look after me. He says he knows my wife and 2 kids, they're dependent on me. He got the top that night.
In Krefeld, as afternoon turns to evening, the band of the local Bund Deutscher Mädchen has almost finished its march. Today, as every Saturday, they have been collecting donations of money, food and clothing for bombed-out people. The girls are cold and tired now, but it's been worth it. People will need hot soup and warm clothing if the British come over tonight. Some 7 miles away, Walter Reistmann, the Bürgermeister of Altgarten, sat by his cozy hearth and overheard his daughters upstairs practicing their party pieces. He was looking forward to his birthday dinner that night at Frenzel's. So why did he feel so emotional? Kunzwig Luftwaffe Night Fighter Station.
Dieter, have you seen Christian Himmel?
Haven't you heard, Victor?
I heard what?
CO's just told us. His father died in Munich this morning.
His father?
He's off on immediate compassionate leave. Left for the railway station before we got back.
But why wasn't I informed?
Blessing and his men are giving him a lift into town.
Blessing?
In charge of the foreign cleaners. He must have moved quickly for once in his life.
Oh, I see.
Pretty rotten news.
Yes, sir. Yes, thanks, Dieter. I expect there's a note in my room. See you later.
Levin Hertz felt tears prick his eyes. He knew Christian Himmel's father had died when he was a boy. In the workroom of his house in Altgarten, the tailor Foss thought about the timing of his supper. There was a concert relay on the wireless at 9, Beethoven's choral symphony. Foss wanted to eat and clear away before it started. He saw his neighbor's young son and his childminder pass on their way home. She was a pretty little thing, that Anna Luisa. Foss didn't notice the Kugelwagen parked across the street, or SS officer Fischer, who was watching his house and waiting for dark. Herr Foss would hear no concert tonight. It was almost 4 o'clock on that afternoon of the 18th of February, 1943. At radar station Ermin, August Bach looked out at the dark skies above the North Sea. Hundreds of British bombers would come this way tonight. In spite of his woolen greatcoat, August suddenly felt a chill course through his body.